Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Walt Larrymore, an award-winning journalist and best-selling author of over 40 books. He spent more than 15 years travelling to more than a dozen archives and military installations, as well as interviewing many soldiers and their families to research, document and write this book about his father and the countless men and women who fought on the forgotten front in southern Europe in World War II. At First Light is a true World War II story of a hero, his bravery, and an amazing horse. Welcome to the show, Walt.
It is so good to be with you. It's something you don't know. Today is my dad's 98th birthday, the hero of the book. And so in his memory, we both can have a birthday cupcake today.
Oh, absolutely. That happy heavenly birthday to your father.
Exactly. We lost him in 2003, but I'm so grateful that the last few years of his life, he decided to open up about what many soldiers don't open up with, the terrible, terrible, horrible experiences that they have in frontline warfare.
So how old was he, and what was your kind of situation as a family as to when and why he did start to open up and tell you about it?
Well, he didn't for years and years. My brothers and I all knew that he had fought in World War II. And we knew that he had lost a leg, but he would never talk about it. I asked my mom once, how come he won't talk? And she said, he's just left that all behind. And I've learned that that's fairly typical for these folks that are on the front line. But then on their 45th wedding anniversary, all the boys were gathered together, all of our spouses and kids. And I guess he just got nostalgic. It was just the right moment. Maybe it was one too many beers. I don't know. But one of my brothers said, Dad, really, how did you lose your leg? And he just opened up. He began telling stories. And I must confess to you that the more stories he told, the more we didn't believe him, because they just were unbelievable. But he told those stories consistently to us and then to friends, colleagues at work. And then when he passed away in 2003, I found 450 letters that he had written home, three history books that outlined most of the stories that he told. And as I interviewed those that he fought with or their family members, I found that his unbelievable stories were actually true. And then 16 years later, they appeared in this amazing book.
Gosh, wonderful. And some of his amazing stories involved interactions or even friendships with the likes of Winston Churchill, General Eisenhower, President Truman. I mean, these must have been some of the things that sounded so unbelievable, but as you say, were completely true.
Yeah, it was remarkable. He had interactions with several Medal of Honor winners, including Audie Murphy, arguably the most famous foot soldier in World War II. Winston Churchill did not believe that the invasion of the Southern Front was wise. He and his command staff advocated only for the attack from the north, attack from Normandy. He was overruled by General Eisenhower, and they did have the attack from the south. In fact, many of our listeners will know that of D-Day in Europe, they always think of Normandy and the Allied attack at France at D-Day. But the guys on the southern front actually had seven D-Days. So far more fighting. The guys on the northern front fought for 336 days, which is a terribly long time. But the guys on the southern front fought for 913 days. Now, I call this the forgotten front. But when they invaded southern France on August 15th of 1944, Winston Churchill, to his credit, came to see the men off. And Dad and his best friend were able to have an interaction with Winston Churchill. Later interactions with General Eisenhower after the war. Dad actually played bridge, a card game, with General Eisenhower. And after the war, he had lost his leg and was fighting for army amputees to be able to stay in the army. They couldn't at that time. And so he befriended President Truman. And all of those stories, those remarkable stories, are outlined in the book, along with the one I think maybe the most amazing. He lost his leg a month, 30 days before the end of the war. As a young teenager, he was the youngest frontline soldier in World War II, yet won every Medal of Valor other than the Medal of Honor. But 3 days before he lost his leg, he was sent on a secret mission from Germany into Czechoslovakia to find the Lipizzan stallions that Hitler had sequestered there and on a horse farm. And indeed, he was able to fly in on this secret mission, find the Lipizzans that were there, and then get information back to General Patton, George Patton, who authorized an illegal operation called Operation Cowboy, which went in and saved the Lipizzans, actually from the Russians, who likely would have killed them and cooked them.
Gosh, incredible, incredible stories. And your father was awarded 7 Purple Hearts, 3 of which he turned down because he didn't feel his wounds were significant enough.
Yeah, and you know, how many soldiers actually do that? His first Purple Heart was when he was on Anzio, fighting on the Anzio beachhead, which was a horrible battle. It went on from January until May of 1944. The men were completely surrounded by the Germans, the German army, which was in the mountains surrounding Anzio. The beachhead was about 10 miles deep, about 15 miles wide. Every square inch was bombed. And so the soldiers had to live in foxholes. The entire army was dug in. Even hospitals and operating rooms were dug in. But it may have been one of the first recorded instances of biological warfare because Mussolini, who had drained the swamps of Anzio to develop commune farms, before the Allies invaded, those dams were broken, the fields were flooded, and the Germans knew that the Axis knew that that was going to breed mosquitoes, which would cause malaria. And so Dad, the second month he was there, caught malaria, went into the hospital to be treated for malaria. And he tells the story that an orderly came by every day and threw a Purple Heart on each bed. In other words, if you were in the hospital, you got a Purple Heart. And he gave his back. He said, "No, I will not take a Purple Heart for not doing anything, for just getting sick." And so a minor wound, a minor gunshot through the arm, he wouldn't accept the Purple Heart. He felt, in fact, he never even called himself a hero. He said, "The heroes of World War II are those who are still buried there in Europe."
Yeah. Wow. And this is just so hard to imagine and comprehend, that your father fought 413 days straight. That's just impossible to imagine.
Less than half of the 913 days that most of his buddies had fought. And that was fighting straight with no breaks, with no rest. We now know that if a person is in frontline battle for 200 days or more, that the chance of literally going crazy, of going psychotic, increases dramatically. PTSD increases dramatically. And the over 2 million men and women who fought the Axis powers in World War II on continental Europe, almost all who weren't wounded or killed fought longer than that. And so my time in Europe, of going to graveyards and seeing the tens of thousands of tombstones was a very spiritual experience for me, and to understand why Dad and his compatriots who actually lived looked to those people who are buried there and to their families who also sacrificed as being the real heroes. You know, they never saw themselves as conquerors. They saw themselves as liberators. They wanted to liberate Europe from fascism, from Nazism, from Hitlerism, if you would. They really thought that they were fighting for the freedom and liberty that so many of us enjoy today. And you know, we're in awfully difficult political times there in Europe. There are political factions almost in every country. And my hope is that by turning our memory back for those who fought for liberation, who fought for freedom, that we'll, sitting on the shoulders of those who gave their lives, we'll be able to work together, you know, to preserve freedom, to reserve liberty for everyone. It's extremely wonderful gift that they gave us.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you went to Europe, tell us about the places that you visited and the people that you met, can you?
Yeah, it started actually in 1978. I was a Queen's Fellow in England. I'm from the U.S., but I was privileged to be able to study in England. And then part of that study involved touring major medical centers throughout Europe in 13 different countries and to be exposed to actually what happened in the war. Then after Dad died in 03, my wife Barb and I went back. We went to Italy, to Anzio. We went to Rome, went to Milan, and then up through southern France, where the southern front, the forgotten front, began there on the shores of the Riviera, then up through France, a frantic race of chasing the Axis powers out of France, up into the Vosges Mountains, across the Vosges Mountains, to see how difficult mountain warfare was, to actually see with our eyes these tiny little mountain roads that military equipment could not travel very well, the density of the forests, and to understand historically that no army that was dug into the Vosges Mountains in history, not one, was ever defeated. And here come the Allies up from southern France into the Vosges Mountains, where the Axis powers are deeply dug in and deeply fortified in the middle of the worst winter in Europe in 50 years. And the Allies won. They pushed through the Vosges Mountains into the Colmar Pocket, the Alsatian region. So we were able to actually tour there and see that very difficult area to fight. The Colmar Plain there in northeastern France is absolutely flat. The ground was frozen to 18 inches. And the men who battled across that had no coverage. They couldn't dig a foxhole. They couldn't duck into a ditch that wasn't full of water. And then the Rhine River, to see the Rhine, the mighty Rhine that the Southern Front guys crossed three different times. And then the race across the Autobahn into Europe, and finally the end of the war. So to be able to go to those sites, to be able to go to the World War I and II Museum in Paris, which is one of the best military museums in the world, and to have the archivist there dig out papers for me, it was a wonderful gift. And then to be into Great Britain and to be able to see what happened in Great Britain, it was deeply, deeply spiritual. It was intellectually fortifying. But then to actually meet families who lived through that war, all of that impacted this. The 16 years of research that ended up in the book At First Light.
Yeah, fantastic. So who did you meet? What soldiers did you meet and their families? Because there can't be many, many still with us now at all.
Yeah, no, there weren't. In fact, I actually interviewed only three soldiers that fought with him, all of whom have passed now. And then I interviewed the children of the main characters of the book, the guys that both served under him. He was he went into the war as an 18-year-old youngest officer, frontline officer in World War II. He was the only U.S. Army history of the officer candidate school, OCS they call it. In America, a soldier can't even get into OCS until they've graduated from college. Here he was, a high school graduate, a primary school graduate. He went to military school because he was a juvenile delinquent as a kid. So his mom and dad sent him off to military school. But that was where he found himself, and he found his true calling. And so after graduating from OCS as a 17-year-old, he was commissioned into the Army on his 18th birthday, the youngest officer in World War II, and then fought on the front line there in Europe, like you said, for 413 days.
Gosh, well, if people want to read the story, it's an incredible, incredible story. It's At First Sight, a true World War II story of a hero, his bravery, and an amazing horse. It's by Walt Larrymore, who we've been chatting with today. The book is available on our website, tre.radio, in the bookshop section there. How does it feel, Walt, that the book is finished, having it been such a big part of your life for so long?
It was wonderful. My prayer that was that it would see print one day. And my prayer was that it would help remind all of us of the gift that our ancestors have given us. And my prayer is that we steward that gift wisely.
Yes. Well, well done you. Thank you for sharing your story with us and your father's story, of course. Walt Larrymore, thank you for joining us on Talk Radio Europe.
great to be with you. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday to your dad. Absolutely.
TRE,